Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Bichette. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Thursday, the last day of June, June 30th, 2022. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available absolutely free through the tireless efforts of Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice on the website at whyagain.org. If you go to that website and click on the Start Here link in the upper left-hand corner of the page, it will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that chapter of the book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. And it's a tool I've been using to great effect for almost 18 years to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships, and to turn any negative emotional experience I have into part of the infallible guidance system that each and every one of us has been gifted. You can also download the actual worksheet process itself. It's a simple PDF file. Click the link, download it, print it off, and copy it as often as you'd like, and use it over and over again, absolutely free. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words, Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. And before you're done typing the word forgiveness, you'll see the glowing heart icon. If you choose to tap on that, that will let you download a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. You can also download a whole host of audio files of shows just like this one, in which people have been stepped through the use of that primary tool, the Reality Management Worksheet, and or they've given powerful testimonials about how the application of that tool in their life has improved their quality of life and relationships. We hope people do all of those things soon and often because it tends to stimulate comments, questions, answers, or testimonials. And if you have any of those, you may email us, tjh@mindshifters-academy.org, or you can email Jeannie at jeannie@whyagain.org. That's whyagain.org. And it's good to remind people that since today is a Thursday, we will have a support group again tonight. We have support groups that are available on Tuesday and Thursday night through Zoom from wherever you are. They run from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Central Time. And if you're so inclined, all the information you would need to join us is available on the MindShiftersAcademy.org website. So if you go to MindShiftersAcademy.org, there's a separate page for the information about logging in on Tuesday and a separate page for the information about logging in on Thursday. We'd happy to have you join us or someone that you think might benefit. So please feel free to pass that information along. There's no requirement for payment. If you would like to donate, you can, but we have had people joining and gaining benefit from that series of groups for a lot of years now and never paying a penny. It's just a service we offer. And our intention with all of this work is to be of service with the internet show, with the support groups, with the MindShiftersAcademy.org website, with the archives are available. Our intention is to be of service, and you can assist us in living into that intention by letting us know what's on your mind. What have you been getting and benefiting from in the way of mastery readings with commentary we've been doing, or anything else that we've been discussing and promoting and assisting people with for the last 11 plus years, at least 1 hour a day, 5 days a week. We have, yesterday's show was a replay because on Sunday, I stepped in a hole, and I stepped in a hole that I didn't see, and it effectively turned me into a ballet dancer on my left foot, but I don't have any strength in my ankles, so everything just crumpled, and my foot was going through all of these wonderful transformations of the rainbow of colors, and so after a few days of walking around on it and it not getting any better, thought we should go check out whether or not there are any broken bones. And at this point in time, unless the radiologist notifies me differently, it's just all kinds of soft tissue rearranging that happened. And so there aren't any broken bones. So that was why we had a replay yesterday. And today we're ready to get back into the review of Lesson 14, which is where we left off on Tuesday. As I've said a number of times, I view the way of mastery as a set of tools, as containing a set of tools that I can use to create my own template for a kind of structured mindfulness that is not what I was taught growing up. It is not. I was taught to rationalize things and judge things and evaluate things and elevate one thing as good and label another thing as bad. And what's being suggested in the way of mastery is that we step into a level of observation that is constant and present moment focused, and that we observe how our thoughts that we choose and the thoughts we value, the interpretations we select and place on these neutral life events that are flowing around us, that's the mechanism that creates our experience of life. So from the first lesson on, we're introduced to observations about how our thoughts create our reality, how the thoughts that we value are imbued with even more power and more energetic resonance to bring even more similar things into our lives. So we're creating our tomorrows today by the thoughts we choose to value today. And just to back up a little bit from where we ended in our last session, here's a heading in the Way of Mastery, page 174 in the big blue book, that says, here's an exercise to develop your awareness. And the text reads, therefore, again, by way of another exercise, take just a moment and look around you. What is the first thing that your eyes see? Land on it, be with it, do not be so fast to judge it and label it as a candle or a flower or a picture. Simply be with it. Let the body relax. Stop thinking so much. Understand, what is this thing? Do you truly know what it is or what it is for? You can describe it. You name it, as Adam once did the animals in the story of the Garden of Eden. The human mind believes that once it has named or defined a thing, therefore it knows it. This is called the smugness of egoic knowledge. But do you truly know what a thing is? Do you recognize what has come about to even bring it into existence? How many minds had to have been involved in bringing forth that particular creation? What are the materials that it is made of? Where did the materials that it's made of come from? What plant, what rock, what metal has been discovered and extracted from the body of the earth to become this shape? How on earth did that happen? Where did the very molecules and atoms that make up this thing, where did they come from? What is the thing that I'm looking at? Can you find a place in which you merely rest in awe and recognize your complete ignorance? You did not make that thing. You cannot find the moment in which that thing first began to arise as a thought in someone else's mind. You are completely unaware of the moment of the birthing of the substance from which that object has been created. So look at it then with awe and recognize that it has come forth from the same place as you. Mystery, utter sheer mystery. Do you not then feel an affinity with it? Are you not then in relationship with this thing? Can you not then begin to sense the sacredness in which that relationship abides? For mystery is sacred, and it transcends even the greatest of minds. The greatest of philosophers cannot comprehend the field of mystery in which all relationships arise. Now, looking upon that object, whatever it is, recognize that you have called it into relationship with yourself. Ponder for a moment and ask yourself, out of what vibration of consciousness did I first call this object to me? You might remember purchasing it in a store. See if you can discover the very first moment in your memory, in your consciousness, in which this object came into the field of your awareness. What was going on? What were you thinking? Or were you thinking at all? What motivated you to bring this object into the field of your home? Or if you're at a friend's house, the questions remain the same. What motivated you to be where you are right now? What choices were you making with your consciousness? Now, again, we would suggest that you pause in your reading to spend about 5 minutes repeating this exercise with several objects or things that you see in the room around you. Do not forget that this might even include your kneecap, your hand or ring upon your finger or even the socks upon your feet. Enjoy this exercise if you choose to do it. And remember, this is not to press the brain. This is not to be overworking the intellectual part of your mind. Do not think so hard. Relax the body. Sit in the chair as though you were Christ and just look and go through the kinds of questions that we have given unto you. If you choose to, stop listening for 5 minutes and do that exercise with several objects wherever you are right now. Beloved friends, this exercise is very, very similar to one that I was given by my Essene teachers when I was fairly young. And I would spend hours, not just 5 minutes, but literally hours doing this exercise. I would do it in my father's house. I would do it in the synagogues. I would do it in the streets of the villages. My favorite time and place to do it was just at dusk as the sun would begin to set. As it did so, I observed the colors and felt the changes in the temperature of the air upon my skin. As I looked at the breezes dancing across the grasses, and as I heard the song of the bird, I would be with these things, just as I asked you to be with whatever objects are in your room. Hours would go by as I would sit and try to look at each and every star in the sky, asking myself the same questions. Can I discover the source of this that I'm seeing? Where did it come from? How could it be? What has brought this forth? As I began to sense that I was calling these things into my experience, I began to discern what brought me true joy. Not just a moment of pleasure or satisfaction or a sense of security, but that which elicited true joy. I discovered that what always brought joy was when I was willing to surrender into the awe of mystery, to penetrate the thoughts, perceptions, attitudes, and definitions that the world had taught me. So I learned that what brought me true joy was questioning everything I'd been taught and being actively present in the moment and observing. To look at a plate and not just see a plate, but to see mystery unfolding before me. To sit and look at a star. To sit and look at a sacred text. To sit and look at one who is diseased and who sits by the side of the road all covered with dust, and to see all of it as the same energy, the same flow of life. There is no difference. To see them all pervaded by the same mystery, the same presence of the Creator's love. That is what brought me joy. I began to sense that that love also pervaded me, that the very body mind that I thought had been me, Yeshua ben Joseph, was arising out of mystery, of mystery. It was arising out of mystery that I did not create myself. I finally came to realize that even I was a mystery with which I was in relationship. And I decided to be in relationship with my own self, what we refer to as the body-mind, that peculiar sense of awareness in which I say, quote, I am, close quotes. I decided to be in relationship with the totality of my larger self, mind, spirit, soul, emotion, and body. And I decided to be in relationship with that with the same sense of awe and mystery that I felt when I looked upon the farthest of stars deep into the night on a quiet hillside. And once I did that, that changed everything. I gave up my self-definitions. I no longer saw myself as a carpenter's son. I did not see myself as a Jew. I no longer saw myself as a student of the Essenes. I came to see myself as the mysterious extension of something beyond my comprehension. I saw myself as a sunbeam to the sun. I saw my larger self as the very mystery of the Creator's presence being unfolded within the realm of manifestation. I saw that all that I thought, even down to the body, was temporary. I saw that whatever it was that was birthing me was eternal and ongoing foreverness. And I saw that if I could just rest in that, if I could abide with that, if I could return to that even prior to every breath, then I could tap into the very power of creation itself. And I could get out of the way and get out of the way and get out of the way. And I could keep diving deeper and deeper into mystery upon mystery upon mystery. I never let my mind rest from that day forward. I never once decided I was done. I never defended a single perception that I held about anyone or anything. And by using time wisely, I cultivated, over time, the willingness and the ability to seek first the kingdom, even to the point where I was doing it prior to every word spoken and every gesture made with the body. I said something much like this, quote, "Creator, I rest in you. What would you live through me in this next moment? Let me witness it. Let me feel it. Let me taste it. Please take me ever deeper into your mystery. I want all of you." The text goes on and says, "And if I might make a confession, that has never ended. I am still saying, Father, I want all of you. Creator, I want all of life. I want to experience at levels that my senses can't experience for me. I want to open up to everything the flow of life has to offer." The way of transformation is the willingness to use time differently. There must come a point in the journey of each individual in which the head bows and the thought emerges, quote, "I want only the truth of creation, and I no longer care what it takes or what is required. I submit to the mysterious force that life is, and I ask only that I be transformed into the perfect field of awareness through which love flows openly." What you will discover in the end is that the only obstruction to the flow of love and life is fear, or some expression of it. Each time you begin to set aside fear, you choose to bless the world from the perfect holiness of your union with your Creator. each time you dare to be so arrogant in the eyes of the world as to be the presence of Christ, each time you relax the mind and the body and recognize, quote, of myself I do nothing, something is living me, and it is to that which I surrender, close quotes. Each time you say that, you will cultivate a way of being in the world that is not here. That is, it is not within the perceptual mode that makes up the world. You will be different. You will look the same, but you will not be the you that the world has known. You will speak as you have always spoken. You will know your social security number and where you live. However, there will be a definite sense within you that you live and yet not you, but that one, the Christ mind, is living you. Somehow, inextricably, unexplainably, you are being allowed to be in the field of awareness that gets to witness life living as you. And you will know that it is sacred. You will know that it is beautiful. You will know that right now, wherever you are in this moment, you are the embodiment and expression of mystery, capital L love, forever extending itself. You are the very joy of creation. And you will continue to be so throughout all of existence. There will never be a time when you will cease to be. But by choosing to surrender defense of the perceptions you have come to identify as you, by choosing to release the grip on the fears you believe are justified and the judgments that you believe are true, as you surrender your grip on the world you have made, creation will flow through you. Another suggested quote, quote, of myself, I do nothing. I merely witness the flow of love through me. I use time wisely to cultivate perfect remembrance of the real world. Time and space do not imprison me. This body is not me. I use it as a tool to fashion and shape that which, in this world, can extend love into any moment. Close quotes. As we come to the end of our second adventure within the way of transformation, notice what thoughts, what pictures, what items you have chosen to write into your journal. Notice the feelings that are occurring in the body, even now. Notice the thoughts, the pictures, and the images that you may hear echoing through the field of your mind. You abide nowhere but in the infinite infinitude of the Creator's presence. Mastery comes when finally you choose to release all attachment to fear. And in perfect surrender, you release the dream of the dreamer itself, and you allow the mystery of life to live you freely, openly, with no restrictions, no obstructions, without fear, and in the perfect knowledge that, quote, I and my Creator are one. There is nothing I have to do to get to God or creation. There are only some things to be released so that the Creator can get me. Beloved friends, heed well what has been shared. At times we've shared it in a very subtle way in this lesson, and we would highly suggest that you read the lesson several times. Do it in different environments at different times of day. Perhaps at 3 in the morning, perhaps at midnight, perhaps in the spring. when the weather comes to warm the earth again, and to take the time to find a small hill where you can gaze at the stars and perhaps abide with them differently. This, again, is the way of transformation. In order to have a transformation, I have to use my time, my intelligence, my money, and my energy differently. It's recommended that you review this lesson when you are feeling harried or stressed. Look at all of the different sets of circumstances that you have believed had the power to limit your choice or distract your energy. Read this lesson in those circumstances when you are sad, when you are lonely, when you are bothered. When the room is filled with too many friends, you might take the lesson out and read it sitting on a park bench or on the benches in the great malls where the many beings come to worship their stuff of God, their God stuff. And they come there to exchange their golden coins for shopping. You could instead shop for a new quality of awareness, a new way of being, a way that penetrates what you believe you are seeing and reveals to you the perfect harmony of the kingdom, the presence of the love of creation, which, as this work tells us over and over again, is right in front of us, but right behind the images that our brain shows us. The last paragraph in this lesson again reads, "No one will ever make this journey for you. No one you see or no one with whom you live will ever make the journey to God, to creation, to life for you. So get clear about your priorities and seek first the kingdom." When I read that, I think, seek first to consciously connect your awareness to your true nature, to the shimmering radiance of energy that underlies all things. Seek connection with this higher level of energy and wisdom and insight and intuition and Christ mind before you speak or you let yourself spin off in thoughts or you take an action. Seek first the kingdom means wake up to your true nature and consciously connect with that before you think, speak, or act, and your life will start to change dramatically. Above all, it says, know that you are not alone. We are indeed with you always. You are love. You are loved, loving, and lovable forever. Peace then be unto you always. Amen. So there is our second read-through of Lesson 14. And again, it's recommending that we read it again. And we read it in different situations, different times of day and night. That we stay conscious enough that if we're in a party full of people and we start to feel overwhelmed or distracted or claustrophobic, that we take that lesson out and read it in a less congested environment. So we have time for comments and questions and answers and testimonials and 563-999-3581. If you call that number and press 1, we can have a conversation. What is on your mind? How is this landing with you? How, if you have done this exercise, what is it showing you about how uncomfortable your conscious logical mind gets with accepting its ignorance? If you're like most of us, you've been trained to believe that your value and your safety are directly tied to things like how much you know and how, and what kind of an education you have, and knowledge is power and power is money. And so here we have a teaching that's encouraging us to go in the exact opposite direction and to see and to question and to explore our almost total ignorance about our true nature, our origins, our life, the energy that gives us existence, and the energies that we're interacting with in everyone and everything that we see. How does that land? How's that feeling for people when you try to train yourself to be comfortable with or allow this realization of how little you truly know, the ignorance that pervades our existence? It's absolutely woven into the nature of this life that we have, that we are not able to be aware. I know when I first encountered this work and I was reading it and I was reading the line about divine ignorance and reading about how Jesus or Yeshua moved into mastery by learning to be a perpetually avid student, by not trying to be the professor of love, but the student of love, by understanding with exercises like the one that we just read that even the greatest of masters, spiritually speaking, philosophically speaking, scientifically speaking, the further people go along the path and acquire knowledge and insight, and the more they realize how little they know. And as that sinks in for me at different levels, it at times it's no comfort at all, right? At times it stirs up in me senses of a lack of safety or threat or fear. And I can't recommend it from the perspective of it's so empowering, you're going to love it, because it's a challenge to undo decades of conditioning. And most of us, when we're challenged to give up the things that we think we know and the things that we think are right, and most of us have been conditioned to have a very fearful response to that kind of suggestion. So there may be quite the learning curve. And yet, I can say with absolute certainty that my life has gotten better by leaps and bounds. The more I've engaged tools like this, the more I've explored it for myself, the more I learn to live in direct observation rather than from belief or dogma or ritual. I was just, you know, I was exploring things for the Thursday group tonight and was looking at this documentary they have about energy. And there's a gentleman who has spent years meditating and chanting and praying and working at developing his energy system so that he can focus and conduct electrical energy that's so intense that it's not safe for him to touch another person directly. He has to use a stick or a leaf or a flower. that's an incredible amount of focus and effort. And I was left wondering, and what practical use is that? How is that improving this person's life? It might be, but I don't know how. And I can't imagine that spending all that time and energy to become, you know, an energy guru like this guy would improve my quality of life. Yet, I'm here to tell you unequivocally that the use of these tools and the practice of these exercises has improved my quality of life. Continues to lead me to a better quality of life. And it begins by recognizing how little I know and understanding that the more I learn, the more I learn about how little I know. And learning to be comfortable in that state of questioning, in that state of ultimate ignorance, took a while. It took quite a while working with these tools, but like I said, it's been almost 18 years now, and it's paid enormous dividends. I don't take things personally anywhere near as much as I used to. Yeah, I still get triggered and take things personally and feel offended, and yet it's so much less often than it ever was before, and it's so much less intense before I wake up and realize what I'm doing to create the experience of being offended, that it is enormously beneficial in my life on a daily basis. I just had a new patient earlier today. He's 68 years old, and he's coming in because he's got an anger problem. He's coming in because he realizes that his wife that he loves dearly is starting to get embarrassed to be around him because he blows up in rage and threatens to punch people. And he's, you know, 68 years old. But he's not about to be anybody's doormat. And he knows what he knows. And he knows what he was taught. He knows how he's functioned in the world. He's been quite successful. But now, something's been changing in this past period of time, and he's getting more and more angry. And it goes hand in hand with being more and more sad or depressed. And there is no amount of knowledge and knowing that's going to provide a relief for this person. He's going to need to understand that it's his knowing and his insistence on being right and his insistence on how he knows he's right and somebody else is wrong, that's the actual mechanism that's creating this anger and rage that he's experiencing. And when this is done, when the exercises that are done in the way of mastery and they're done accurately, the realization that I really don't know anything is one of the best ways, the canceling my need to be right is one of the best ways to just obliterate the anger response. Because if I truly let it in about how little I know, it is almost impossible for me to be angry. I truly open up to the questioning and asking to be taught by life, by love, by the moment. It's almost impossible for me to generate anger and do that at the same time. So there's my best guess, my best take on how and why the use of these tools has been so powerfully productive for me in the past 18 years. And as I mentioned, we have plenty of time for comments and questions. We had about 15 minutes left. Our call-in number is 563-999-3581. Please give us a call and press 1 on your phone and let us know what your thoughts are about all of this. Living in observation, canceling the need to be right. You know, I would have talked more about this if I had been here yesterday, but on Tuesday night in a support group, it was one of the more intense conversations we've had in the 18 years that we've been doing this work because of, you know, recent changes in the politics and the Supreme Court's rulings and I think, you know, the most accurate way to say it was really intense. The discussion was tense. The emotions were tense. And I don't know any answers to any of these issues. And the only way I can get through life lovingly, respectfully, with some modicum of contentment is to just openly recognize this deep truth that I don't know what's going to make this better or that better. I don't know what really caused this problem at its root. I don't know the truth of how caring another person might be or might not be when I judge them as being cold or harsh or unloving or brutal. Or I don't really know the truth of that. They could be every bit as loving and respectful in their interactions with people around them as I try to be in my interactions with people around me. And when I step into that recognition, that direct observation, it's a game changer. That's what we're being encouraged to do. We're being encouraged to use these tools, practice them on a regular basis, live more from direct observation, and reap the benefits. Seems absolutely absurd to me as I sit here thinking about it to have somebody like me who went to kindergarten, grade school, high school, and college and hated school, hated it, but then went on, you know, took 5 years off to take a breather from it, but then went back to school for a doctorate and took me 9 3/4 years to finish that. It seems so absurd for me to be sitting here now suggesting to people that we recognize how ignorant we are and how little we truly know, and that that is a far more productive expenditure of my energy or choice of where to focus my energy than that 9.5 years of doctoral degree study ever was. It's cheaper, too, I can tell you from firsthand experience. I haven't accumulated anywhere near the student loan debt by practicing this work that I did in trying to get the doctorate. So, 563-999-3581. We've got a full 10 minutes left. Area code 541, you're in the air, I hope.
Good morning. This is Celinda.
Welcome, Celinda. What's on your mind today?
What's on my mind is deep gratitude for all of the Aramaic teachings, wherever they come from, and especially for your and Michael and Jeannie's shows. I want to thank you for the comments you just made, because that is what I'm discovering here in this tiny community, that once I shifted my focus and I began to consider that I might be wrong, my relationships to the community has changed. I no longer pay attention to the differences, political or otherwise. Now I just go straight for the heart. I do my very best with all of my human frailties and all of the practices that I am attempting to do now in all areas of my life to have this attitude that you were talking about. And believe me, slow, my perfectionist personality would love to say, okay, tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock I shall be Christ abiding in the world, and at the same time laughing. And it's all process, it's all practice, it's giving up my yardsticks and saying, I'm just going to be the best I know how to be, and I'll practice the tools that resonate for me. And I think my main practice at the moment is this one word that I chose last December of abide, and it's popping up everywhere. And I just found two of it in our reading, two abiding kind of words in our lesson today. And so it just cultivate us next year. So there you go. We're on a roll.
Well, it sounds delightful. And I think, you know, the meaning you can give that word, the meaning that it will take on for you as you practice is something that you can't really put words on, but it'll shift and it'll change and it'll have a richness for you as you experience focusing on that word and how it changes your energy. What does it mean to abide? My hunch is that at this stage of the game, it already feels differently to you than it did when you began this earlier this year to focus on that word.
Yes, because now it is seeming to draw nearer to the word ground. All of my metaphors that are the most meaningful for me are some sort of metaphor about gardening. And I'm beginning to perceive my soul garden as well as my actual garden, that we're all in relationship. And to be able to look at the movie The Shack and just let it be as it is, languaging the way it was with the belief systems that were underlying it. It's just finding the ground, and that the image of the Ruha cultivating the gentleman's soul's garden. And I just abide is blossoming. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fascinating how it, for me, it's fascinating how much an energy around a word and a meaning for a word changes when I work with it, when I practice it, when I step into the experience of it. And that's what we're being invited to do on a deeper and deeper level with the Way of Mastery. So I applaud your efforts, and I'm glad that they're paying off for you.
Oh, yeah, and just as soon as I get on a big roll, I have some sort of challenge come up, and then I go, okay, what are we to learn here? But I also have become very calm, usually, unless one of my issues get triggered that I haven't resolved totally. I'm becoming more calm about somebody languaging something different than I. And it's like the last few weeks or so, I've come to realize that Ruha is not going to be limited by any cultural understanding or language. It's going to find a way, like energy does, like wind does, like water does, to permeate through its essence and essential truth through that languaging. And even when that person is languaging that way, I find that if they are practicing the way of the heart in their spiritual paths rather than the way of the intellect of their religion, that we have common ground. We have incredible common ground. And that has been wonderful for me also, because I have a very highly judgmental and I'm right personality, as you were mentioning, because I've had a lot of schooling too, and I've been a self-taught learner all of my life, doing it my own way. So that comes up, then I have issues. If I let that just laugh about it and say, uh-oh, here we go again, around the mulberry bush, and I let it go, then I and that other soul just connect on a really deep, deep level.
Well, I'm glad
and
that works for you.
Not.
Sometimes
they don't, and then now my challenge is learning when to hold and when to fold, which is not my strong suit, because I'm always holding, not always, but mostly holding or deferring. And now, okay, what from the wise place, like Michael's wise self-care, when is it wise to fold and when is it wise to hold? And have I stopped and asked for guidance first?
All important questions. All good questions.
Yep.
Well, is there anything else that we can... say it again?
I said the practice is in asking them first, not after the fact.
Yep.
And so it's all a journey. I mean, it's a voyage, and it's a journey, and it's a cultivation. And thank you. And that's all I have to say.
All right. Blessings. Thank you for the call. And I hope you have a continued success as you keep exploring, abiding. And we're here again tomorrow. We're heading into the 4th of July weekend, which is a holiday in the U.S. So we'll have one more day tomorrow, and we'll explore what we're doing. Are we going back over a review of the first 14 lessons, or do we move on into lesson 15? And if you have comments or questions about that, please give us a call tomorrow or email between now and then, tjh@mindshifters-academy.org, or jeanie@yagain.org, whyagain.org, and let us know your thoughts. I'll remind us all that we come from love, we're made of the stuff we call love, we actually are love, and everything else is false. Welcome, Jeanie Rice.
Thank you, Dr. Tian. Appreciate you.
You are most welcome and deserving. Have a lovely show.
Thank you. So welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mindshifters Radio. And today is Thursday, June the 30th, 2022. Our calling number is 563-999-3581, and press 1. And that puts you into queue to talk to us. And we'd love to hear your comments and questions, because that makes this your show. And we do just have, today's last day of June. That's crazy, isn't it? We have one more day this week, but that is July the 1st. For those who are participating in the monthly Mind Shifters and Stillpoint Breathing or are interested in it, we normally do that the second Saturday of every month, but Michael's going to be out of town on July the 9th. So we're moving that to July the 16th. So we're just bumping it out 1 week. So we'll do Mind Shifters and Stillpoint Breathing on July the 16th, followed by the support meeting on July 19th. So I sent an email out to all of those who have been participating but then also for you all who, and so not everybody has responded. So if you're on the switchboard, check your email, because I did send a notice letting you know about that change. And I have heard from a couple of people that said that was absolutely okay with them. And if you're interested in participating and you haven't registered to be part of the Mindshifters and Stillpoint Breathing, it's an awesome group. It's a small group, but we have done some really deep processing during this time. And so if you're interested in joining us, please drop me a line at Jeannie, J-E-A-N-I-E, at whyagain.org, and let us know that you're interested. We'll get you registered and signed up to be part of that. And the book club will still be on the 2nd and the okay, then I was incorrect, Michael. I was thinking that you were going to still have a book club the end of next week when you're going to be gone, but it's actually going to be the 14th and the 28th. So if you want to be part of that, that is free, and the information of how to get be part of that is on our website. You can click under Schedule or Events, either one, and click on Global Online Book Club. And we've also got the archives to all of the past meetings, and those have been great. They're not just studying the why is this happening to me again. It's actually like little mini workshops. So welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart, and welcome, everybody. Excited that you're here once again. We had an awesome morning in the garden planting asparagus and transplanting some other items, cleaning up the garden. And it's awesome to see what happens when you simply start from scratch. Actually, we knew nothing, but you know, YouTube University is great. We learned lots about putting soil together and such, and we've created about, I don't know, probably close to 6 tons of soil where there was none. And man, things are just growing like amazing. And it's fun to get up there. I don't have the dirt out front of my fingernails yet, and that's okay. The healing energy of the vibe of a garden, of the earth, of the micro life that's in there, the interaction with it's pretty amazing. And so we get to embark on this conversation once again about first century Aramaic forgiveness and move in the direction of what does it really look like when you live as a human being? And recently came back across a quote we've used several times over the years from Albert Einstein. And the project that he says is this: a human being is a part of the whole, called by us universe, a part limited in time and space. I would say to him, apparently limited. He experiences himself, his thoughts and feelings, as something separated from the rest, a kind of optical delusion of his consciousness. This delusion is a kind of a prison for us, restricting us to our personal desires and affection for a few persons nearest us. Our task must be to free ourselves from this prison by widening our circle of compassion to embrace all living creatures and the whole of nature in its beauty. And when you put that together, a second quote that really punches through specifically looking at the Aramaic is Einstein also says, the world as we have created it is a process of our thinking. It cannot be changed without changing our thinking. And even behind that is to change that which is the mainspring of our thinking. It's interesting that if you go back to the Aramaic language, you go back 2,000 years ago, which so many people in today's modern world thinks is the musings of some old fogies in the desert, and you see some of the most profound understanding of how to set the thinking process up in a way that works. and you look at what was spoken about in the ancient scriptures in terms of how to operate the mind as a human being, and it's absolutely amazing. You hear that quote from Einstein. He says it's a process of our thinking, and then you go to the opening words in the book of John, where it doesn't say in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh, and where the Greek interpreters have made that into a line about a man named Yeshua. Actually, that word says in the beginning was, that opening says in the beginning was the mind energy, and the mind energy became flesh. That literally we have this capacity. We're made in the image and likeness of a creator, and we have this capacity to create. And yet so many people live their lives as though they have no idea they are creators, and that everything that happens in their lives is somebody else's fault. And when one lives in a philosophical world where everything that's quote-unquote wrong in their lives, everything that's off base, is somebody else's fault, and yet we perpetuate. You know, if you listen to David Bohm, you know, one of our favorite quotes you'll notice in the worksheet is that term that he coined, sustained incoherence. What is sustained incoherence? Let's look at this, the word incoherent. Incoherent means it doesn't work within the context it's being placed. Chord and note in a musical composition is an incoherent energy. And basically what David Bohm says, David Bohm having been a physicist who worked with Einstein, his math in part is responsible for the fact that they were able to build an atomic bomb. And Bohm also worked in the realm of the mind. And in essence, and this isn't an exact quote, but if you Google David Bohm and sustained incoherence, you'll come up with this quote. Basically what he says is, and it ties right in with Einstein there, he says that people think in a way that creates destructive results in their lives, believe that everybody else is the cause of the destructive results, and continues with the same style of thinking. And that's, he says, sustained incoherence. And that's the major problem of human beings, this sustained incoherence. What we're looking to do is to realize that this man Yeshua brought forward a technology for ridding ourselves of our own sustained incoherence. And the technology is the technology of how to change the root of thinking. And the technology is called forgiveness. The Greeks came along and took that technology and turned it into something frivolous and silly by comparison. You'll notice virtually everybody lives in a world of, you hurt me, what you did has caused all this pain inside of me, but I'm going to follow the good Greek mythology and I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to let you off the hook for what's happening inside of me. Now, if I let you off the hook for what's happening inside of me, have I done anything to change my sustained incoherence? Have I done anything to remove the incoherent energies from my own energy field? Because the only thing that can create pain within us is an energy that doesn't belong within us. And so Yeshua taught the reverse of that. He taught a technology for going inside of the mind, into the deepest hidden parts of the mind, which in the ancient teachings were called both the desert and the heart. You remember they said, take care of the heart, for out of it are the issues in life. The issues in your life don't come from your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your children, your parents, your government, the insurrectionist doesn't come from them. The issues in your life come from inside of you. If we could just convince every person to take the tools and clean up what's happening inside of them, conflict would be gone from the world, because all conflict is nothing but a reflection of what's going on inside of the individual minds in conflict. If each person could take responsibility for their own sustained incoherence, and then with understanding, apply forgiveness to remove the energetic patterns behind the sustained incoherence. Then liberty would be the result. And we're here to offer support for liberty. The technology of forgiveness is available on our website. If you're not familiar with it, if you're not using it, there's buku information. Process. It's the theme of a 20,000 plus page website called whyhyagain.org. So jump on our website. You can do the forgiveness process live right there on the website. If you go to whyhyagain.org and in the upper left hand corner, you'll see a start here button. Click the start here button and begin to engage in an understanding of how this process, this technology that is so amazing, called forgiveness works. You can actually do the forgiveness worksheet process right there on the website. You can download the worksheets, print them, do them longhand. You can go to the App Store in your phone and type in the words H-E-A-R-T-L-A-N-D, Heartland, all one word. Aramaic, A-R-A-M-A-I-C, forgiveness. And you'll be looking at the world's only forgiveness app. Click on the link and start doing forgiveness right there on your phone. It will show you precisely how to rid yourself of sustained incoherence. It will show you precisely how to rid yourself of the energetic patterns that are the producer of aging, disease, and pain. And restore the mind to truth. The reason we're here doing this show today is to offer support, to offer a deeper understanding, the ability to comprehend a situation as one needing forgiveness by having the brain cells for recognizing what's going on. You know, we can only recognize what we have brain cells for, and most everybody has a brain cells for everybody else is the problem in my life. It's like they live their lives by that axiom. And then, of course, you know, once in a while you start to recognize, I've been through this painful reality 87 different times with 42 different people. I'm the only one that was there every time. Maybe this is about me. Maybe this is something I need to resolve. And as you engage in the tools of forgiveness, you get to drop into parts of your mind that are not necessarily pleasant to drop into. In fact, literally, this sustained incoherence of every generation in your bloodline that has not been forgiven, that has not been resolved. Remember, the word forgive means remove. Every sustained incoherence in your bloodline that has not been removed from your structure is still in your structure. And one of the reasons I believe that people resist engaging in the forgiveness process is because they don't want to face and they don't want to feel what's inside of them. One of the reasons people have always got a conversation about somebody else when they're in pain is they don't want to look at what they're holding in their own minds. And yet the most powerful, the most beneficial thing you could do for yourself is to look at every thought in you. Remember, Einstein spoke about the importance of thought. David Bohm, sustained incoherence, Yeshua, mind energy becomes flesh. Most important thing you can do is stand as the presence of love in your own mind and bring forward and expose every energetic pattern in your mind or in your genes that is not keyed to love. And what happens is when you pull those things up and you pull those things forward in the presence of love, then they begin to dissolve. And literally they will dissolve the diseased tissues in your muscles, in your organs, in your cells. This work is a training in standing in your life as a space of conscious, active, present love. And being able to do that, whatever comes up in your mind, if you are standing in a space of conscious, active, present love, if you've cultivated your relationship with yourself as love, and a thought based in rage comes forward, guess what happens? The rage is de-energized and it dissolves. If a thought of fear comes forward in your mind and you're standing in your own mind as a space of active love, then fear begins its dissolution. Sadness, grief, hatred, vengeance are all things that begin dissolution in the presence of active love. And I would offer we are each designed to be able to shift the energetic patterns within ourselves and quite literally restore ourselves to that space of conscious, active, present love. And recognize that because we live in an energetic world and resonance is a key part of the process, every word that you speak has an impact throughout your whole structure on every aspect of your structure. And so literally you can upregulate or downregulate genes, emotions, disease processes, or healing processes within your own structure by the words that you use. You listen to Yeshua 2,000 years ago, and he says, the power of life and death is in your words. Now, is there somebody that you think deserves a low-life description? And someone you feel is deserving of your rage, and out of rage you speak words that refer to them as something less than human, then notice that you get the original of that energy. You get the original. They get a carbon copy. Does that mean I have to pretend everything is sweet and wonderful in my world? No. No, I can look very honestly and very truly at what's going on. You know, you look at some of the gunk that's going on in the political world today. It's a lot of insanity. Do I hide my head in the sand and pretend it isn't there? No. But out of a space of active love, move in the direction of accountability for those who are engaging. Accountability might look like the way you step up and cast your vote in each election. And each individual has to determine what it is that they support and what it is that needs to be held accountable. The key is, can you do it and maintain awareness of yourself, functioning of yourself as active love? And if you can't, there's your next piece of work. So it's a challenging world. It's a challenging time from so many perspectives. And life without tools is a whole lot easier than, or pardon me, life with tools is a whole lot easier than life without tools. So we're here to deliver those tools. We're here to support the deepest, deepest levels of understanding. And how can we support you today? What's on your mind? our call-in number, if you're listening to this show from one of those stations where we don't have access to you in our control panel, so we can't see that you're there. If you call into the show, the number is 563-999-3581. If you call that number, you're listening to the show directly. And then you're in our control panel, so when you push 1, that raises a hand in the control panel, and Jeannie will know that you want to talk to us. And we would love to have a conversation. What's on your mind? How can we support you?
Michael.
Miss Jeannie? Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, we have a hand up. I believe it's Miss Julie to continue the conversation from yesterday.
Awesome.
However, I just wanted to, we've got a couple of people on the switchboard who are part of the Mind Shifter Still Point Breathing, and I haven't heard back from them. So just to ask again that you check your email, we are bumping that out a week. Instead of being July the 9th, it's going to be July the 16th. So if you check your email and then let me know that you got that. And so, Miss Julie,
yes.
You're on.
And let's make sure, and Julie, you're one of the people we'll need to hear from on that. Let's make sure that if you'd answer that so that we know that that week is going to work. I had shared with you that I've been working with a physician who's between us and a couple of other folks, and we're working to create a literal, this is going to be shocking for a lot of people, a literal healthcare program to be delivered throughout America. And there are some political people involved who really want health in America rather than this disease care program that's running our culture and producing such terrible results when we could be doing healthcare. So I'm actually going to be flying out to Boston for a few days to do some work with him and take a look at another aspect of what might be integrated into this program and continue our processing and our planning around that. You'll recall I was in Las Vegas and Los Angeles back a few weeks ago working on this, and then in Florida. And so another trip coming up, so that's going to necessitate bumping the Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing out by 1 week. So it'll be the following Saturday and the Tuesday following that. So Miss Julie, welcome back once again from Spain, you world traveler, you. What's on your mind?
So much that I have not the words, but I'm going to let it flow.
Let's take a shot.
What?
Let's take a shot.
Yeah, let's take a shot. Well, I'm not going to talk about what I was going to talk about yesterday. It's not as important. But I will retain that for another. It was just a thing about diet, so no big deal. I'm on that. This has been an amazing experience of everything you just described, how the forgiveness process works. I've been working on an issue for just I sat down and focused on it last night, and I felt Ruka and the process really working and stirring in me the whole time, and I kept flushing out that what I really wanted was a loving solution, you know. But so simultaneous to your show right now and priorly to this, I heard the last 5 minutes of Dr. Tim's show. And it all was congruent with this issue I was working on and the outcome that I have experienced already because of the releasing work that I did. And it just, it came upon me and it was so recognizable that I knew that the other person that this was about, I knew there was a release and that there was no room for resistance or a conflict anymore. There was no place for it to exist. And I'm the one that did the work, but maybe they did too. And we reached a point where we kind of collectively, our minds reached an agreement. And now all I have to do is work it out in words and present a statement. And so the details are that just a little, that my student has been taking lessons from me. for quite a few years, and I wasn't being paid for it in the last year in the normal way. He got behind, and a few other things like that regarding money. And so I had to catch up and do my bookkeeping. So that was my responsibility that I had been letting go, because he always paid on time in advance. And I didn't even do a statement. It was just really understood between us. So now it was requiring all these details. And as I kept going over the details, I kept sensing in me that I did not want a conflict. I didn't bring hostility to the table. I was bringing love to really see through what are the facts. Just like, you know, in the codependence workshop, right? Just the facts. And the numbers are the facts. And I laid them out and I started seeing through.
You might, if I could interrupt mm-hmm. you for just a second, you might want mm-hmm. to look at the speech you're using there in terms of regulatory speech and what you didn't want to bring.
Oh, yeah. Okay, thank you.
That's yes. probably some good worksheet material, because in this conversation about money, what I just heard is there's some stuff about wanting to be involved in conflict, and so just be worth looking at that speech and maybe doing a worksheet or two.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's definitely my layers of hostility, you know, I have been, and thank you, because the words matter. I know what you mean. So I'm just going fast, you know, to get it out here. But thank you. So anyway, when I realized there was this release and all I wanted was goodwill between us, I started writing things like that down. I've been writing things down through this whole process, okay? And
right.
then the words came to me just like from the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident. And I put different words in. We hold these truths to be self-evident and predictably upheld when seen in the light of each individual and their inner release of hostile, fearful energies, which underlie the political self-serving agenda of the day, these days. Okay, that's just bringing it all into current events. I recently heard a lecture by Robert Reich, I think it's R-E-I-C-H, and he was really a great demonstration of what the solution is here. So then I continue one more paragraph. As I have brought love to my own inner negotiations with regard to the piano issue, piano buying and piano lessons issue with my student's family, I have been resolved to a loving conclusion within myself, which I now can give or extend to my neighbor. So I'm including the first law in there because that's been very strong, a strong message to me. If you want to repeat what that is to the audience when thinking of God, neighbor, mm-hmm. or self, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Rockma. Got to keep that filter yeah. open. Got to keep your mind on track with human life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's
and words
where
based in hostility or fear will tend to distract from that.
Mm-hmm. And so I wrote those two paragraphs, and I said, this changes everything. When I get to that level, which I did today, and I felt it shift in him and the whole universe, my whole resonance, like you were talking earlier, which I have to re-listen to everything today that was on the show, because I keep interrupting with my own things I need to write down and talk about. So I'm getting the triggers, the prompts, and just going and flowing fast. So so I wrote a little
Are you
bit
breathing?
More. Yeah.
Okay.
It's exciting because, you know, going through the discomfort of any issue, I now know resolves and brings me to joy and peace again and the truth of who I am and when which is love. I choose and prefer love. I prefer that energetic being that I am and know myself as. So there was one more paragraph I wrote, the perceived conflicts have nowhere to exist. What is now seen is that harmonious and peaceful conclusion is possible. And then let go your trifling treasures, quote, right, from Course in Miracles. I have now memorized where that is. It's workbook lesson 164, paragraph 8.
Right.
And I started thinking that would be a great title for a book, Let Go Your Trifling Treasures. Nobody would know.
Yes, it would. You should
and
write that book.
I know. I started getting an outline for it. It's just so great. Anyway, it's a great process.
I can just hear the musical score for it.
Oh, really? Yeah, make a Broadway musical out of it. Instead
bum,
of
bum,
Jesus
bum, 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 bum.
I know there's so much possible to do. It's beautiful. So it's great that I've come to this culmination, and yet it was so cool that I tuned into Dr. Tim getting ready to listen to you too. I catch what I can, and there was Sylvinda saying what she had been talking to Dr. Tim about, and it was just so precisely exactly aligning with what I was processing with Ruka. And so
nice.
I really feel, yeah, that this is the collective mind of God at work. You know, I kind of mentioned that to Sylvinda when at the end of the show I sent her a text, and I want to talk to her more fully, but I said to her I was having a similar process and realizations with Ruka and an issue in my life simultaneously to your sharing with Dr. Tim today, though I only tuned in and heard you in the last 5 minutes. The collective process is always awake, the awake mind energy, as Michael is saying right now, because you had already started talking. We will contact each other in a few days. But it was this huge moment. This moment of precise, simultaneous mind of God, collective consciousness, arriving at the solution for peace on earth, period. And anyway, I trust and know now that my mind is connected to God's mind and to all minds. And I've known this for a long time, that we're all processing the way we can with the tools we've got. And the more I use mine, the more I see the truth that a loving solution is possible. And I guess that's my message today. For everything that's going on our planet, everything, a loving solution is possible. It has to do with goodwill towards our neighbors. And yes. arriving at the truth of what is the goodwill inside me that wants to have expression and feel the well-being of in myself and extend to my neighbor. And I get it directly from the mind of God first. So when I set that Rachma filter, it's there. And it takes what it takes to get there, you know. The process,
yeah.
The business work. Okay, yes. I'm complete.
what I hear is that you've energetically, your perceptual structure is more being rooted in the breath, rooted in that presence of love. And that's awesome. Nice work. That's what we're heading for. And from that, flow certainly different solutions and different experiences of being lost in the world of hostility and discordant energy, you know, the sustained incoherence. And each individual who lets go of that sustained incoherence becomes part of strengthening a different pattern of energy in the world. And the stronger that different pattern of energy is, the easier it is for everyone to see it and go, oh, that looks better than what I'm doing, and make the shift.
Yeah.
So nice.
Yeah.
Nice work.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so excited about this gift that I can give to my the father of the family of my student, who is having his set of variables of stress and discomfort, but I don't have to be hostile with him. You know, that's the old way of the world. I want to bring a loving solution, and I've had to cancel a lot of goals about.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel
of course,
very confident. Yeah.
Yeah, and for people who are listening, when one cancels a goal, that's how you process the underlying hostilities and fears, and that's how you arrive at, oh, I could do this from love rather than doing it from these old dynamics. So nice work. That's awesome.
Yeah, I brought love to the party instead of hostility to the party, you know. And I'm just using the same facts, you know, the facts of what is owed to me and the responsibility of how long it took me to make up a statement for him so he knows what he owes me. So that's definitely my responsibility. And I am crediting my value of what I've offered and crediting that, you know, he wants to offer me the payment. He just doesn't know how to do that yet in his life. There are some obstacles going on. So it's all goodwill for each other, and nobody's wrong, you know, because I so deeply understand from this work that people's realities inside their minds and that voice inside their head who's with them, you know, you put it that way, sometimes it's so funny, you know, who's in there with you or something like that, you say.
Yes.
I just know that, you know, that's the part that needs the forgiving, and there's the way to do that, and all I can do is the way I know how to do it with my tools, and I know that it helps others. So instead of trying to save them, fix them, teach them, lecture them, and make them realize things, I just do my work, and then it just shifts. And
yay.
I got
nice
a
work.
Real example of that today. So
sweet. Sweet.
And so all I want
well,
is
it sounds
like
you and Celinda are joined in it.
Yeah, and Celinda and I, yeah, I'm going to call her when I get a chance. And I'm sure we'll have fun playing with it too. So anyway, Michael, onward and upward. We're
all right.
We're grounding all this in, and it's already grounded in, discovering it.
Awesome. Nice breath. Yeah. There you go.
I know.
Well, I congratulate you and acknowledge you for the work you've been doing. This, you know, if we go back 5 years ago on this radio show and listen to some conversations, this was not the directive or the direction your mind was going. And I acknowledge you for keeping coming back to your work and keeping coming back. And you've been doing that for, you know, a long time, and you're bearing the fruit of it. So that's awesome. Congratulations.
11 years.
11 years, yes.
11 for me, because I met you in 2011.
Ryan.
Yep. So, yeah, thank you.
And as the Course says, millions yet unborn will benefit from the work you do, so thank you for doing your work.
Yeah,
and thank you for all
true.
The support you offer. You've supported us over the years very sweetly, so thank you.
You're really welcome. It's
all right,
all one.
Take care.
Okay, thanks.
All right.
Blessings.
Blessings.
See you on.
Bye. Alrighty. Bye-bye.
And we have another hand up. And
sweet.
I believe it's Ms. Roma, 808. You're another one on the list that we needed to hear from to see if the change in the date was going to be okay.
Uh-huh. It's fine with me. I wrote it in my calendar.
Awesome.
Sweet.
Thank
awesome.
You. Welcome to
How
the
are
show.
You, young lady?
What an awesome program it is today, Julie. Oh, my gosh. How exciting it is. I've been doing this work for 33 years, and she's been doing it for 11, and 11 and 22 and 33 are master numbers. And so.
Master numbers.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
The other morning, both Jeannie and I woke up at 4:44, and it was like, whoa, now there's a supermaster number.
There's an advanced master number.
There you go. Just keep adding them up.
I love it. I love it. And, you know, the reason I was so delighted when you began explaining why we were postponing for 1 week. That sounds so awesome, Michael. Whew.
It's pretty cool. I mean, it's we're going to meet with a scientist actually that has another technology of health in Boston, and we're actually going to go through his process. When we were in California, we went, and there's some basically billionaires that we worked with who are wanting to fund something like this. So, you know, we were working with them, giving them the experience of what healthcare looks like from a different perspective, tying in the forgiveness work, tying in different processes this particular physician does. And so now he and I are going to experience what this scientist does and see where that fits in the whole plan of things and what his interests might be in helping to bring this forward into the world. So, you know, it's interesting to see what opens up and what develops.
Wow. I mean, I feel speechless. I'm speechless in the face of awe. We made it.
Nice when joy moves inside of us, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the only conclusion I can come to is we.
I've got the energy. I got it. I'm with you.
And yeah, the world, it's not that obvious when you look at the world, but boy. Oh, my gosh.
Well, along with all the crazy stuff that's going on, there's some pretty amazing stuff happening too.
Yeah, and it's becoming, it is, I'm affirming this because I know it's the truth. It is becoming more and more obvious to more and more people until the moment in time where the critical mass is reached and we all celebrate. We all celebrate. We all celebrate life. Oh, my gosh. This is such an amazing time to be alive. Wow.
It is. Oh. It is an amazing time to be alive.
I had a conversation with a woman that's 22 or 3 years younger than I. In other words, she's young enough to be my daughter. And she's the only child I have. We had a conversation last night. It was on the new dimension. It was a back and forth conversation on the new dimension. And I just hang on to your hearts. Hang on to your hearts.
You know, when we open to become the space where that can arrive in the world, it's like bringing a new frequency, new vibration, literally into the world. And it has me think about the fact that you can look back in history and there's several times when a new invention came to the world and it was patented. And it was patented in 2 or 3 different places. Simultaneously, people had no knowledge, no idea this other person even existed. And on the same day, somebody in, say, Italy patented a particular invention, something that had never been seen before, and it was patented the same day in America. And you realize these energetic patterns become available. You know, Thomas Edison is said to have had a cot in his I shouldn't say he said to have. I've seen the cot. I've been in his laboratory down in Florida. And he would hold an iron ball in his hand. He'd lay down when he was searching for an idea, working on invention. And at the point where his body would relax enough that the iron ball would drop to the floor and wake him up, he said he would just reach into the air and pull those ideas out of the air. And that's where many of his inventions came from. So when each of us becomes a vehicle, which is what I hear you talking about and what Julie was just talking about, becoming a vehicle to bring that energy in, it's that leavening that was being spoken about that becomes available to all the world. And the more people that share in it, the more people that extend it to other minds, literally on an energetic level, from a physics point of view, the stronger, it's like a radio signal, you know, if the signal is so many watts, well, it'll reach for 5 miles. But if you double or triple or quadruple, it won't just go 5 miles, it'll go 50, it'll go 500, it'll go 5,000. And it's the power of that signal coming in. And the more minds that share in a signal, the stronger the signal gets, the more available it becomes to anybody who's receptive and ready for it. So that's how critical mass is created.
And Julie, I so want to encourage you to write your book. Oh my goodness, it's so beautiful. It was beautiful to hear her putting those words together in her own unique, exquisite way. Oh my.
Yeah. For sure.
And her use of hold these truths, I mean, that elevated, oh my goodness. You know, they say that George Washington was influenced by extraterrestrials. And I don't doubt it. It is only the one, you know, all these people waking up to new inventions. It's like the lights going on in different places.
Definitely time to wake up. The leavening that leavens the whole loaf.
We're sitting in the same ocean of energy, all of us. All of us together. Oh, well, I'm very,
sure.
Very grateful that I ran into you 33 years ago. And that
hey, a master
taking,
number.
Yeah, and then it's taking only 11. And what does the future look like? Oh my goodness, I just sit here and oh wow, and
let's go for it.
Absolute delightful expectation. Thank you so much. Thank you
so
much.
All right, young lady, you have a blessed one. Honored, delighted, glad you're on the team.
Oh, I am so honored. Thank you so much.
All right, take care. Bye bye. I was reminded in this conversation, and so I did a quick look up online for it. And if you do a search, it's the title of this poem is Desiderata, and it's actually a poem that way back in my 20s when I was in the restaurant business, we had a place that was kind of a show place. And on Mother's Day, I mean, we would just be overwhelmed with people. And every Mother's Day, I printed a souvenir menu on parchment with this poem on it. It was so profoundly influential for me and my thinking back then. And I mentioned it the other day, so I'd like to share it. It goes like this. It's called Desiderata. Go placidly amid the noise and the haste, and remember what peace there may be in silence. As far as possible, without surrender, be on good terms with all persons. Speak your truth quietly and clearly, and listen to others, even to the dull and ignorant. They too have their story. Avoid loud and aggressive persons. They are vexations to the spirit. If you compare yourself with others, you will become vain or bitter. Pardon me, I actually misread that. The word is may become, not will become. You may become vain or bitter, for always there will be greater and lesser persons than yourself. Enjoy your achievements as well as your plans. Keep interested in your own career, however humble. It is a real possession in the changing fortunes of time. exercise caution in your business affairs, for the world is full of trickery. But let this not blind you to what virtue there is. Many persons strive for high ideals, and everywhere life is filled with heroism. Be yourself. Especially do not feign affection. Neither be cynical about love, for in the face of all aridity and disenchantment, it is as perennial as the grass. Take kindly the counsel of the years, gracefully surrendering the things of use. Pardon me, of youth. Gracefully surrendering the things of youth. Nurture strength of spirit to shield you in sudden misfortune. But do not distress yourself with dark imaginings. Many fears are born of fatigue and loneliness. Beyond a wholesome discipline, be gentle with yourself. Child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars, you have a right to be here. And whether or not it is clear to you, no doubt the universe is unfolding as it should. Therefore, be at peace with God, whatever you conceive him to be. And whatever your labors and aspirations, in the noisy confusion of life, keep peace with your soul. With all its sham, drudgery, and broken dreams, it is still a beautiful world. Be cheerful. Strive to be happy. And thank you, Max Ehrman, for penning those words back in 1927. If you Google Desiderata, Max Ehrman, Ehrmann, they do have posters of that, pre-printed posters available that you can purchase. It's a powerful reminder of the perennial philosophy. And so, Miss Jeannie, we've got about 8 minutes or so left.
We've got 7 minutes. I did put a link in the notes for today where they could click on that.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Sweet.
But it's all quiet. No questions. No other hands up. We have 7 minutes. Oh, a hand just went up. Yay. Hello, Miss Martha.
Hello, Miss Jeannie.
Welcome, young lady. God. How are you?
Oh, doing well. Doing well.
We had a brief conversation with Chuck yesterday, so it's good to hear your voice today.
Right. He passed it on. So I have a brief question about something you said earlier, and I realized that I'm not sure how that works. So if you would explain. I think I heard you say that if you're in a state of love, if you are actually operating from love at the moment and something triggers you and anger comes up in you, that the love will, you may have used the word dissolve it. And my question is, first of all, is that what you said? Second of all, if it is, I'm surprised because I would think that if one is in the state of love, that anger wouldn't even come up.
Okay, well, a place, the thought that comes to mind to explain this is something you've heard me share before, but, you know, I can be rolling along in a state of connectedness and a state of love. But, you know, we live in a shared world. We live in a world where we are not the only influence. And if tucked away somewhere in my unconscious, something I've denied, dissociated from, and blamed somebody else for, there's anger, fear, sadness, grief, rage. Remember the law of resonance. If I walk into somebody's space And they have a frequency, and you'll remember this from Laws of Living, is a state of mind in one person can impact and change the state of mind in another person through resonance.
Right.
So if I maintain, if I can, and this is one of the reasons why you hear me so often suggest, take time each day to cultivate your relationship with love so that when you need it, you can call on it. So that you're clear who you are and you stay present in your life rather than if anger and fear is resonated, getting lost in that anger or fear. And if we can hold to, you know, the beauty of somebody who shows up and resonates anger is I can stop and say, ah, here I am rolling along the state of love and I recognize there's still some work for me to do. Look at the anger that just came up. And then the bottom line of healing is that when I can bring the root energy of that love, or pardon me, of that anger, not just the surface mind's flash of anger, but engage in the forgiveness process so I drop into the root of that, and I can bring that forward in the presence of active love, when those two meet, there's a transmutation of the lower energy. There's a change that happens. You know, the line you've heard me quote so often from the Course in Miracles says, bring the world you do not want to the one you do.
Right.
And so recognizing true being and really living in your own structure as literally as present love, not the world's definition, this soupy syrupy thing called love that's got something to do with sacrifice or sexual athletics or all the crazy definitions, but really truly being present as love, then when the underlying energy of something different surfaces, that's what dissolves, that's what transmutes the lower energy. But as I move through the world, I move through with everything I hold.
Right. And so until the time when we have nothing left that we're holding that would bring up any kind of anger or any other emotion besides love, up until that time, we will experience occasional interference with the love that we're living at that moment.
Right. Whatever's there. You know, maybe generational stuff, maybe childhood stuff.
Right. Yep.
And, you know, you've heard me say this many times too, that the purpose of the world is to kick us in limitation. If we're rolling along as love, but, you know, in some organ in the body, we're holding some disintegrative energy. Life says, I don't want that organ to fall apart on you, so I'm going to send you someone who knows exactly how to resonate that in you and show it to you. Ah. If I didn't know it was there, it's disease in the organ, and my body starts to fall apart. Now I've been notified, I'm on notice, that I have some work to do. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I thought it was
now, let me just ask. Say again.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say we've just got a few seconds left, but I'm taking it from what you're saying that you're complete now, that nobody resonates things for you anymore. You're finished.
No, I'm
awesome.
I'm all done.
Well, hey, I want to touch the hem of your garment and thank you for being part of the process.
Yeah.
All right, dear heart. And does it work for you for the mind shifters and still white breathing to put it off a week?
Yes, absolutely. I let Jeannie
know.
So
awesome.
Good. It's fine.
All right.
And I hope you have a wonderful time with your meetings.
It's in the plan. Take care.
Yeah, okay. Love you both. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Have the best year yet of your eternal life. An awesome gift to give the world. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with Dr. Michael Rice and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pache, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here for 2 hours every Monday through Friday from 12 noon to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mind Shifters Radio. For more information on Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.